Hello, dear friends, and welcome to our program. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As always, dear Lord, we invoke your blessing upon us, the blessing of your own divine will reigning in us to think and to speak and to listen, to beat in our heartbeats and breathe in our breathing. We pray, dear Lord, that in this holy season of Lent, a season of rending our hearts, of opening, of allowing ourselves to be wounded by your grace, allowing ourselves to be filled with your new life and your blessing, that the divine will would receive these graces in us for all souls of all time, and then through the divine will in us return to you perfect love and thanksgiving and glory on behalf of all of these souls. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, help us to know what it means to live every moment in the will of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace and Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us, all you angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, let us continue with the next passage from volume 17. This one is dated July 29th, 1924. The title says, How One Who Does the Divine Will Forms a Support of Rest for Herself and for Jesus. Louisa writes, This morning, after much hardship, my always adorable Jesus made himself seen in my interior, tired as if he wanted to rest. And since there was a certain kind of support in me, he extended his arms to cling to that support. Placing his head upon it, he rested. Not only did he rest, but he invited me to rest with him. How comfortable I was, leaning on that support together with Jesus, to take a little rest after so many bitternesses. Afterwards, he said to me, My daughter, do you want to know what this support is, which so much relieves us and gives us rest? It was all your acts done in my will that formed this support for me and for you, which is so strong as to be able to sustain the weight of heaven and earth, which I contain within me, and to give me rest. My will alone contains this strength and this virtue so great. The acts done in my will bind heaven and earth, and enclose in them the divine power, such as to be able to sustain a God. This theme of the acts, the power of the acts done in the will of God, is of course one of the most pervasive throughout all of the Book of Heaven. And of course it impresses upon us how important it is, as he was impressing upon Louisa, to keep these acts going, to make them continuous, to keep them flowing. And we only, you see, the desire comes from knowing how great these acts are and what effects they have, how powerful they are before God. As he says, you see, God himself and in his will contains all the acts of everything he's created, because he's the source of it all, and he is the one to whom all of them will return at some point. So they begin with God and end with God. But when our acts done here in time are united with that source itself, which is his divine will that brought us into being and allows these acts to go forward by our free will, our human will, then those acts have the same power as God doing it himself. This is so, I think, far beyond our imagination, our capacity of our intellects to understand, that we have to actually simply receive it on faith, a human faith, because supernatural faith is only required for doctrine. And this is private revelation. But at the same time, it is a faith that is needed here, and a trust that that these little seemingly insignificant acts of mine that I do all day long, from the smallest to the greatest, even a heartbeat and a breath, to the greatest, which is celebrating the Mass, participating in the Eucharist, every single act is containing all of God in it because the divine will is in it and is carrying it out. So Jesus is saying, when you rest on those acts, He's able to find rest as well. They're a support to Him because they're the only thing in heaven or earth that can sustain a God, that can support Jesus in His human and divine natures. So He's saying, do this with me. When you continue these acts, you are providing a support for me and also for yourself. He speaks, as you know, so often about giving Him rest. Why would Jesus be so weary? Well, just look around you. Look at the world, and it makes us weary. Certainly, it must weary the heart of God. So He's asking us, and I think it's a beautiful, perhaps, intention and way to go through the season of Lent, to offer our acts. And of course, we're going to try to do special acts in this season to break open our hearts to God's grace, to make ourselves open to it. But it's a beautiful intention to do it in everything we do, to make it helpful, bestowing God's graces and mercies, making them available to all souls of all time. So where He's asking us, of course, to put the intention, the motivation, not in the external act itself, although we have to be attentive to what we're doing, you know, if we're going to carry out especially a work or an activity that might be difficult. But He's asking us to have our hearts and minds focused on His will in those acts. So, Lord, I want to do this act together with You, to give You rest. Whatever it is, I may be resting myself, I may be praying, I might be even sleeping, but I want it all to be done through, with, and in Your will so that You can find rest in it, and ultimately I can too. We all can find rest in those acts. So He says, because My will alone contains this strength and this virtue that is so great, the acts done in My will bind heaven and earth and encloses in them the divine power. See, the acts contain this divine power. They enclose it in themselves. What we're doing in time, you see, needs to, when He says it unites heaven and earth, it's uniting eternity and time. We're doing it in time, but the divine will's doing it in eternity. And, you know, not only in eternity, but in a way that's available to all humanity and all of creation. So that's why it binds them together. It brings together heaven and earth, time and eternity, so that we can support God in the sense, support Him on earth. God doesn't need our support in Himself, but on earth, in a sense, He does. Because if there's not humanity here that's coming to know and love and possess His will and doing our acts in it, then how is God going to reign here? It's only through us. This is how He reigns. He doesn't reign in the abstract. He reigns in the particular. He reigns in our bodies and our souls. That's where the kingdom is. It's within you and among us when there are others joined together in living this way. So Louisa, on hearing this, says, I said to him, my love, yet with all this support you're talking about, I'm afraid you may leave me. You know, she's been suffering during the night, as she says, after much hardship. Louisa doesn't exaggerate. She's not into drama here. She's not being sensational. When she says she was suffering, she was suffering. And so she's suffering through his absence during the night. And she says, now you've come to rest, but I'm afraid you're going to leave me after you talk about all this. She says, what shall I do without you? You know how miserable and good for nothing I am. So I fear that if you leave me, your will too may depart from me. See, the sensible absence, the feeling that Jesus is gone, makes her afraid that she may lose the presence of his will as well. I'm sure we've all been tempted to think that, you know, and to feel that way. If we're going through hard times like Louisa was, we can feel, well, if he's gone, then I guess he took his will with him, you know, he's not here anymore. And Jesus says, my daughter, why do you fear? This fear is your human will, which would want to enter the field to take a little walk. This fear is your human will that wants to enter the scene and take a little walk. That is, have a little freedom for itself. Your human will that is often so anxious and worried, concerned, you know, fearful about things. He says it wants to have a little way to take a walk in you and have a little freedom there. But he says, my will excludes every fear because it has nothing to fear. On the contrary, it is sure of itself and unshakable. My will has nothing to fear. And therefore, if you are in my will, you have nothing to fear. You see, because the will of God is so sure of itself, and we can be so sure of it in us. We're not sure of ourselves now. This is not self-confidence. This is not self-will. This is not trusting in our own powers or capacities. No, this is the will of God we trust, to have that unshakable nature. You see, finding its support in us, it becomes unshakable. Finding its support in our continuous acts, that will of God is what we put our trust in. And therefore, there is no reason to fear. Easier said than done, isn't it? I mean, how many of us going through really hard times don't feel ourselves shaken sometimes to the core, you know, living through great illness or sickness, even approaching death, going through it with others, you know, all kinds of tragedies that can happen in our lives and in our world. How do we go through that without fear, without anxiety? Well, there's only one way, the will of God. Because that, it cannot be shaken. The will of God is the eternal support and foundation of everything. So when we have that to lean on, there's nothing to be afraid of, dear friends. We have to really say that to ourselves, and we have to say it to each other, because the world is a very fearful world. And we, our human nature, since original sin, is very fearful also. It's only this will of God that can cast it out and can help us, even in spite of the feelings. Because fears, you know, can be there on a certain level in us, but deep down, that rock-solid foundation of God's will is what we stand on. And when we're standing there in the kingdom of His will, putting all of our weight on that, then there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, let the storms come. We'll live through them. Jesus says, why are you so afraid, O ye of little faith? He goes on, Jesus responding here to Louisa, even more, you must know that as the soul decides to let herself be possessed by my will and to live in it, since my will is linked to all created things, and there is nothing over which it does not have its dominion in the same way, the soul remains linked to all created things. And as she does her acts, her daughtership or sonship in my will, her dwelling place, her possession, they remain inscribed on all created things with indelible characters. So he's saying the will of God, because it is the source of everything that exists, all creation, it contains it all because it came from the will of God. So he's saying if you're linked to my will, then you're also linked to the rest of creation. And as you're doing your acts in that will of God, as a child of God, dwelling in that house of the Father, and it says you possess it because you are a child of God in that house of the King. He says, then all of these acts also are written, they're inscribed, they're engraved on every created thing, not even only the human ones, but the angels, you know, all of the rest of the universe, mineral, you know, animal and plant. It's on all of them. Your acts have an effect on every particle and every part of creation. It's an astounding thought. But in a sense, science bears it out. You know, we are all connected. We're all related. So he says, take a look at the whole universe, at the heavens, at the stars, at the sun, at everything, and you will see your name written with indelible characters together with your daughtership, your sonship, in my will. Isn't that beautiful? That if you look, and he shows Louisa what Louisa writes for us. She didn't have the writings of another Louisa, so she had to be shown these things in order to share them with us so we could hear about it and know about it. But he shows it to her through these mystical visions, and he says, look at everything around you, the whole universe, and he says, see, your name and all of your acts are written there with your own childhood, your own, you know, filial relationship as a child of God in this kingdom. It's all there because in the will of God, your little act here has touched everything else. And by doing that, you've been able to glorify God more together with that part of creation. So how can it ever be possible that this eternal and divine mother, speaking, of course, the will of God, this eternal and divine mother, what a beautiful image for the will of God, may leave her dear child. See, how could it be possible? If you're so united with God through that essential principle of his own divine will, that own DNA of God himself, who was born for her and raised her with so much love, how could this eternal divine mother ever leave you? Therefore, banish every fear if you do not want to displease me. Recently, I received a question from someone by email about the program and saying, you know, it all sounds so wonderful, so holy, so divine, so heavenly, but when it comes to the day-to-day living, this person said, I find I'm so weak, I'm so incapable of doing this continuously. Can you give me some advice? Well, join the club was my first response, because we're all weak and we're all human and we all find ourselves unable to do this continuously. Our human nature, left to itself, alone, of course, can't do it. We need the divine will to do it in us. So, dear friends, whenever we ask the question, and it's not that we shouldn't ask these questions because they're natural and they're human, but instead let's ask ourselves, how can I focus more on the will of God rather than myself so that my trust and faith in that will, confidence in that perfect eternal will of God can grow stronger? So again, we take our eyes off ourselves, where all the fear begins. If I look at myself, you know, and before I come in here to do a program and say, who am I to broadcast and say anything in the world about the will of God, the greatest mystery of who God is in himself? Where do I get the nerve to do that? Well, I'd be afraid too, and I'd probably not do it. But I can't look at myself. I must look to the will of God and say, Lord, in spite of me and in spite of all my own failures to do this, I know you want it to be known. I know you want it to act in me. Come, divine will, think in my thoughts, speak in my speaking, you know, move in my emotion and circulate in my memory, intellect, and will so that other people can benefit from what you want them to learn today. So it's not about us. And that's, you know, it's the same thing for Lent in a sense. If we're focused, and that's exactly what Jesus, you know, every Ash Wednesday we hear that gospel about, if you're doing it so that the attention's on you, whether your own or everybody else's, you're doing it for the wrong reasons and your acts are absolutely worthless. But if you're doing it with the right heart, that is, if your heart is united with the will of God, and you're doing it for the love of God, which comes from that will of God, and your own love, and you're doing it not to show or to prove anything or to get anybody's applause, you're doing it simply to love God and to make yourself more open to His love and to be more loving to others, then he says, you're on the right path. Then you know that what you're doing is in the will of God. So again, the bottom line is, don't look at yourself. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your, as he says, be faithful and attentive to my will operating, working, carrying out in you what it wants. This is the huge, really the huge difference on a very practical level between doing the will of God and living in the will of God. Because when I'm doing it, I'm doing it. Okay, I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to carry out this commandment, this obedience, whatever it may be that I know I should do, God has told me, or perhaps a superior has told me, somebody's told me, and I'm going to do that because I know God wants me to do it, and I want to obey God. That's a beautiful thing, and it's the beginning of all wisdom, that obedience and that quote-unquote true fear of God. But ultimately, the will of God, and St. Bernard says this so beautifully, is not something out there. It's something in here. It's something that's going to carry out in me the will of God. It is the very power of God Himself to do His will. You see, this is, and that comes from Jesus. It comes from my union through the humanity of Jesus, my link with Him, that this can happen as it happened in Him. By nature, it can happen in me now by grace. So I'm not the one doing it anymore. Yes, I am, because I've got to do it with Him. But my focus is not on my doing it. It's on His doing it and the power of His will to carry it out in me. Dear friends, this is the only way I would ever be foolish enough to come in here and talk about the divine will as I do, because I trust the divine will to speak to you, not me. And if it does, if it's having any good effects, any benefits and blessings, it's because the will of God's doing it. And that must be not only in my speaking, but in every single act of my life. That's the challenge, isn't it? Especially when I'm faced with my own sinfulness, my own weakness, my own incapacities to do certain things. And God, of course, allows us to experience that, because if we don't, we forget how much we do rely on His will and on Him to carry it out. So Louisa goes on, and while he was saying this, I looked at the heavens. Remember, he said, look at the rest of the universe and see how your acts, your name, and your relationship with the divine will is written on everything. So she says, I looked into the sun and in all the rest, and I could see my name written with the title, Little Daughter of His Will. She saw her name, her title, Little Daughter of His Will. See, that's all she is. She is the little child of the divine will. It's not about her. It's about her mother, the will of God, her father, the will of God. May everything be for the glory of God and to the confusion of this poor creature that I am. See, Louisa's learning the lesson just as we are, all along the way, all throughout her life. Louisa never at any point says, now I've got it all together. Now I know. Well, excuse me, she does that at one point in her life, and that's the last moment of her life, when she says, now I see the long road of suns prepared for me to light my way to heaven. It's only at that moment, and he tells her ahead of time, you will only see this when you die, and she does. And how beautiful to have that account of her death by Benedetto Calvi, her last confessor, and the one who was with her when she died, being very close to her. As I understand, I think he may have even been holding her in his arms as she was dying. And she sees this vision of God, and her own way, her own path to heaven, illuminated by what her acts in the divine will. Millions of brilliant suns, every act being a sun, S-U-N, to light her way into eternal life in heaven. Amazing, amazing gift. And here she sees her little name written on everything. Dear friends, we're going to see that someday. We will. Maybe some of you see it now. I don't, but, you know, Louisa has shown us this vision. God has given it to her so she could share it with us so that we could have greater hope and confidence and less fear, less worry, less anxiety about the future or even about the present, that all is well in the kingdom of God. He is providing because we have the source of all providence. We have the source of all of His graces, His blessings, His gifts, His riches, His treasures, His attributes, heaven and earth in our souls. Heaven is in us, dear friends, in the gift of His divine will. It was there as a very spark of the divine life when He created our souls, when it came into being. He filled that our souls with the life of the divine will of God, filled it as a seed that had to grow and is growing and now coming to fruition as we come to study and to listen, to hear more and more about this great gift of His will. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. If God has called you, if you're hearing this program, if you're reading Louisa, if you're going to groups, if you're doing your part to learn, you're trying to put your acts there in the kingdom of His will and have those acts operating in you and focused on Him and what He wants to do rather than what we want to do or can do, then we're on the right path. Stay on that path, dear friends. It is a path that, as it was for Louisa, will lead you to the most glorious resurrection you could ever hope for. Well, with that, let us take a little short musical interlude. Now we're at the end of that passage before we begin another. Stay with us here at Radio Maria. This is The Will of God in the Life and Writings of Louisa Picaretta. We'll return in just a moment to begin another passage. Thank you. Hello and welcome once again as we continue our study of Volume 17. This passage is dated August 9th, 1924. The title says, Image of Living in the Divine Will, What the Sea Does for the Fish and the Earth for the Plants. So as in the Gospels, Jesus uses many metaphors, parables, and images here to describe this very exalted way of life that might not be so easy for us to grasp. So Louisa writes, After much waiting for the presence of my adorable Jesus, I felt him in my interior, extending his arms and saying to me, My daughter, extend your arms together with me in my will, to repair for many who lay their works in the human will, which forms for them the net of all evils that makes them fall into the eternal abyss, and to prevent my justice from pouring upon them in order to vent its just fury. So once again, he's asking Louisa to do with him what certainly he did on earth and wants to continue to do in her, extending his arms as on the cross. And he says, because these poor souls are not living in the will of God, they're living, of course, in laying the foundation of their lives in their own human willfulness, which is the source of all evil. Remember, it comes from our will. Yes, the devil fell also because of his will that chose to live by itself apart from God. But it's our human will that is the source of our own evil. He says, in fact, when the creature lays herself in my will in order to work and to suffer, my justice feels touched by the creature with the power of my will, and it ceases its just rigor. So you see, these acts done, again, it's here he's speaking of a particular act he's inviting Louisa to share, but the same could be said of all of our acts, that in a sense, they are mitigating and in some ways canceling the effects of God's justice upon creatures. Why? Because it's the will of God in Jesus and in us that has the capacity to do that. We don't have it on our own. It's the will of God in our prayers, our sufferings, our acts in the will of God that are able to bring this about because Jesus has already done it for us, and now he's asking us to continue to do it with him, to save these souls, to make it possible for them not to go to hell. And as he says, to prevent my justice from pouring upon them in the venting of its just fury. You see, we in many ways are able to atone with Jesus, not on our own, but only because of what he has done and only through within in him to make atonement and reparation so that his justice can somehow be lessened. It can somehow be appeased, you know, pacified by the acts of his own life, death and resurrection that are now repeated in us and multiplied in us by the power of his will carrying it out in us. In fact, when the creature lays herself in my will in order to work and to suffer, my justice feels touched by the creature with the power of my will. It's touched by the creature because that will of God is in that creature. And therefore, it can cease its just rigors. That is, this great punishment and all of that God's justice requires to be carried out. And so a divine vein, V-E-I-N, a divine vein comes out, which the creature makes flow again between God and the human family. And because of it, my justice cannot help having regard, in other words, being more compassionate and merciful for poor humanity. You see, it's like an exposed vein that we can now unite our own actions with, our own acts, and make flow in that vein, you know, again with our own human willingness to join Jesus in what he has already done and continues to do in us to make it once again effective on earth. He says to make us flow, and what we're doing, flow between God and all of the rest of humanity. See, what we're doing is we're making it possible for all that Jesus did for us throughout his life, death, and resurrection to make it more available, make it more present, multiply it in a sense. Why? Because the power of his will is able to do it now in another humanity, in someone else who wants to do it with him, who loves him enough to choose to do this with him, not only once, but of course every moment of the day. He goes on, and while he was saying this, he showed how the creatures are preparing a great revolution among parties against the government, against the church. What a horrible massacre could be seen. How many tragedies. My sweet Jesus continued, my daughter, have you seen? Creatures do not want to stop it. Their greed for shedding blood is not yet quenched in them. This will cause my justice by earthquakes, by water, by fire, to destroy entire cities and to make their inhabitants disappear from the face of the earth. Therefore, my daughter, pray, suffer, work in my will, because this alone can be an embankment, a buffer, so that my justice may not burst out with its devastating thunderbolts in order to destroy the earth. Oh, if you knew how beautiful and delighting it is to see a soul operate in my will. An image can be given to you by Father Sea and Mother Earth, which are so bound and linked to each other that the water cannot be without the earth. The earth would not be fruitful without the water. There's like a marriage between them, such that the sea can be called Father and the earth Mother. Such should be the union of the soul with my will. See, as natural, as dependent, as completely harmonious as the earth is with the sea. Now, what is there in the sea? An immensity of waters. Who inhabits these waters? Whom do these waters nourish? To whom do they give life? To many different fish, which feed themselves, swim, and dart within the immense sea. Do you see, then, the sea is one, but many fish live in it. However, the love and the jealousy of the sea toward them is so great that it keeps them hidden within itself. Its waters lay themselves above and below, to the right and to the left. If the fish wants to swim and to walk, it slices through the waters, and darting, it amuses itself, while the water lets itself be sliced through. But it presses itself around it, below and above it, and it never leaves it. And it immediately closes the step behind its way, leaving no trace along the places by which it passes or at which it arrives, so that no one may follow it. If it wants to be nourished, the water offers itself to feed it. If it wants to rest, it becomes its bed. But it never leaves it. It always presses itself around it. However, in spite of this, one can see that in the sea there are beings which are not the waters themselves. One can see movements, darts, formed by these mute inhabitants, whose life is the sea, while they are the glory, the honor, and the richness of the sea. So this little parable here, this little metaphor, analogy between the sea and what lives in the sea, and of course us who live in the will of God, that we too are completely immersed in it and surrounded by it. At least that's his desire for us. Jesus goes on, more than fish is the soul who works and lives in my will. My will is immense. The creature is finite. However, she has her motions, her voice, her little walks, you know, our little steps, our little ventures out and you know, going to and fro and all that we do. And as my will sees her within itself, its love and jealousy are so great that more than a sea, it lays itself above and below her, to the right and to the left, becoming the life, the food, the word, the work, the step, the suffering, the bed, the rest, the dwelling of this fortunate creature. It follows her everywhere, and it arrives at amusing itself together with her. I could say that she is my glory, that is, the one living in this sea of the divine will. She is my honor and the richness which my will produces. So just as the fish that provide beauty and food for us on earth as human creatures, so too we provide beauty and food for the rest of creation, not because of ourselves alone, but because of the will of God operating in us. He says, the working of the soul in my will is like that swimming and that darting to and fro of the fish in the earthly sea. And the soul does it in the celestial, the heavenly sea of the supreme volition. These souls are the hidden inhabitants of these heavenly waves who live for the immense honor and for the merit of the infinite sea of my will. And just as the fish are hidden, vanished within the sea, yet mute, forming the glory of the sea and serving as food for man, so do these souls seem to be vanishing within the divine sea. They too are mute, yet they form the greatest glory of creation and are the primary cause for my letting descend upon earth the delicious food of my will and of my grace. See, this is what he is promising. It's what he is telling us, if we can believe it and hope in it, is our role. And he is saying that, yes, just as these creatures in the sea are the honor and glory of the sea, so are we the honor and glory on earth of God's divine will reigning here. That's why it's so important that it happen. It's so important that it be known, that it be loved and lived by us on earth. So he's saying, just as these little fish dart around in the sea, and just there's so many of them and doing just what's very natural to them, silently, just going their way, doing what they're created to do. Yet, he says, you, like one of those little fish in the sea, immersed in my will, form the greatest glory of all of creation, are the primary cause for my letting descend upon earth the delicious food of my will and of my grace. See, it happens through the will of God, operating, acting, living, reigning in souls on earth. This is because the will of God is the source of it all, then it's also going to be the source of it all through these people, these individuals, you and me and so many, many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands today, who are coming to know about this way of life. And more, this food of my will and of my grace is going to descend. It's going to fill people's hearts and minds and their souls with this life of the divine will, reigning on earth as in heaven. I received just recently another message from someone in another part of the country, far part of this country, but saying how, you know, there are all these little groups now forming in their state and in various parts of the state, groups I know nothing about and most of us know nothing about, but it's happening. It's growing, you see, and God wants it everywhere. He wants these graces to descend for the benefit of all the earth, of all humanity, but he needs more and more people to know about it, to love it and to live it. So that's the purpose of our study, not just to broadcast it, but so that by the acts that you will be doing and others continue to do in the will of God, it brings other graces, greater graces upon earth for it to spread. Do you see? It multiplies. It is that parable of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes that God is carrying out today. It's spreading far and wide. There's hardly a country now, a place on earth, where there's not someone trying to live this way of life. sometimes even in a secret kind of way, because it may not be allowed in their country. There are people living that way, even in countries that are not Christian and where Christianity is not allowed. Thanks be to God that He's given us this opportunity to share with each other. So do not hesitate. Do not be afraid. You know, do so very prudently, but to gently invite others to maybe listen to this program or to read a passage or two from the Book of Heaven, from Luisa's writings, to use the hours of the Passion in the season of Lent. There are places in the world where whole parishes pray together the hours of the Passion, especially I know in Latin America, where the hours of the Passion, this beautiful work of meditation on the 24 hours of Jesus' suffering and His death and resurrection, are so powerful in the season of Lent. I encourage you to please take them to heart. Goes on, another image of the working of the soul in my will is the earth. The souls who live in my will are the plants, the flowers, the trees, the seeds. With how much love does the earth not open in order to receive the seed? But more than opening, it splits in order to place itself upon it, to help the seed become dust like itself, so as to be able to deliver more easily from its womb the plant which that seed contains. In potentia, of course, all in that tiny little seed, there can be contained a beautiful, large, fruitful, fruit-producing plant. And as it begins to come out of its womb, it presses itself around it. That is, the earth presses itself around the seed. It gives it the humors, that is, all the nutrients, all the moisture, whatever it contains, almost like food in order to make it grow. A mother cannot be so loving as Mother Earth. A mother does not always hold her newborn baby on her lap, nor does she constantly give him milk. But the earth, more than a mother, never detaches the plant from its breast. Rather, the more it grows from the top, the more the earth sinks underneath. It rips open to make space for its roots, to make the plant grow more beautiful and more robust. Its love and its jealousy are so great that it keeps it attached to its breast, to give it life and continuous nourishment. But the plants, the flowers, etc., are the most beautiful ornament of the earth. Think about it. What's more beautiful than the plants? Its happiness, its glory, its richness. They provide food for the human generations. My will is more than Mother Earth. More than a tender mother, I hide in my will the soul who works and lives in my will. See, we're hidden there as that seed is hidden in the earth to grow and produce fruit. We are hidden also in the will of God. I help her to make the seed of her will die, that it may be reborn with mine, and I form my favorite plant. A seed of our human will that must die in the earth, in the heaven of God's will, in order to be reborn and allow God to form the most beautiful, you know, the most pleasing, the most fruitful, the most delicious plant for Him. I nourish her with the heavenly milk of my divinity, and my jealousy is such that I keep her attached to my breast. My will remains pressed around her. She may grow beautiful and strong, and all to my likeness. Therefore, my daughter, be attentive. Always work in my will, if you want to make your beloved Jesus content. I would like you to stop everything else in order for you to take up this point alone, living and working constantly in my will. I would love to see you stop everything else in order for you to take up this one point alone, to live and work constantly, continuously in my divine will. That is the heart of Jesus. That's His desire, the greatest desire of His heart, dear friends, for you, for me, and for all of humanity and all of creation. Well, let us continue to do the best we can. And as He says, if God has us immersed there in His will, and that's where we want to be, He'll take care of the rest. He will surround us. He will support us. He'll provide for us, nourish us, and feed us, protect us, and make it possible for this little plant that we are to flourish, to grow, and produce an abundant harvest for the kingdom of His will. Well, we can certainly keep praying for that in this beautiful season of Lent. It's my prayer for you, for all the world. May God bless us. Keep us always in that sea, in that Mother Earth, in that heaven of His divine will, every moment of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.